It's Reggie ATL coming to you from Lovely City of Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm here with my guy, Jason Vendry, today. Now, Jason, I've been trying to have him on here for a while. Let's go ahead and pop him on the screen just so people can see your face there, Jason.
Hey, here I am.
Jason, I've been trying to have you on here for a while and to talk about some movies. And this is just this conversation that we naturally have. Jason's an actor here, so I always appreciate his perspective on these things. You see more of the behind the scenes. I'm just a guy who watches stuff. You know what I mean? I don't actually get to, like, be in stuff. You know what I mean? So you get a better feel for how everything works. We're going to talk about some Oscar reactions and reviews of some of these movies just so that you don't have to watch 30 hours of movies yourself if you don't feel like watching 30 hours of movies. But it's interesting because in doing that and making myself watch the movies, Jace, I feel like I've gained a better appreciation for some of these movies. Have that been your case too? I'm going to go back full screen for the people here.
Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of these films, I shouldn't say a lot, but, you know, there's films that you would not have watched had they not been nominated. And then you end up enjoying them and you're like, oh, this, you know, never would have watched it if it didn't get the recognition it has.
It's interesting because I did that with The Artist back in the day. That was my start. I think The Artist was roughly about 10, 11 years ago. I had watched it only because it had won Best Picture. And I was like, I don't want to watch a silent film. Man, this is crazy. I don't, no way in the world I'm watching a silent film. I watched The Artist and I was like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen after watching it. And after that, I've started my journey of watching all the Oscar best films just to kind of get out of a comfort zone. Because, you know, we get into a genre comfort zone. If you like horror, if you like science fiction, you kind of stay there, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting, too, is with these kind of set of movies, they're all very different from each other. Man, these movies are not like one another, man. That's one of the things, maybe because I watched them all as a group, Jace. That's kind of like what I've come across here. And now we'll start here with American Fiction. Now, American Fiction, for me, is a film that I can relate to in certain ways. So when I'm watching American Fiction, remember you told me that it was good before I even got a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it and I'm thinking like, so you have the African-American experience it's a lived experience, but it's a lot more boring than people give it credit for. A lot of people think that the African-American experience is people riding around in cars, doing drive-bys and stuff of that nature. I go to a rap concert, then I go and play basketball later, and then I rinse and repeat this every single day of my life. When it's really just people going to work and doing regular stuff.
Right.
It's a lot more of a regular existence. So tell me, so that's why American Fiction is so great for me. We'll get to your final reviews. We're going to get to the Rotten Tomatoes final reviews here after these kind of talk a little bit about your experience for the film and what made it so great for you, Jace.
American Fiction was actually one of my favorite movies of all the nominated films. First of all, I love Jeffrey Wright.
Phenomenal actor.
And he did such a great job portraying, you know, this character and not wanting to be held in to a box of being African American. Not that I can relate to being African American, obviously. But you know, he wasn't the person that society wants him or expects him to be. And the irony of, you know, him, well, I don't want to give away any of these
endings. Yeah, we'll do no spoilers. Yeah, no spoilers. We'll keep it very general. Absolutely.
But, you know, that's the basis of the film. What I loved so much about it is I did not know where it was going at all. And right, there were certain things that I thought, you know, whenever we watch a movie, we have a preconceived notion of what the beats are going to be because we've all seen so many movies. We're all experts in watching films. And, you know, you kind of have an arc that you think a story is going to follow. And I think a lot of times it follows that arc. And this one, right off the bat, I was like, oh, this is going to be a story about this. And it was not. I was like, oh, okay. And that's what I loved about it. And it was such... It dealt with kind of a serious matter, but it still managed to feel upbeat.
A little lighter, right? A little light. It never felt heavy like some of the movies that we're going to talk about later. I felt heavier for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There was a lightness, uniqueness, but it still drove home an important issue, if that makes sense.
So your review, would you go A, B, C, D? Evidently an A for you, man.
It would be an A for me, 100% an A for me.
Thumbs up for you for your Siskel and Ebert people who don't know who those people are. But for us people who do know who Siskel and Ebert are, thumbs up for you, evidently.
Now, yeah. And so I'm curious to see from you coming from a different world than I come from, how it hit home for you and if you would rank it A, B, C, D, however.
I rank it at A because I think it does a good job of telling that, of telling the different, because I think that a lot of people feel like African-American culture is a monolith, and it's so different. It's no different than any other culture that kind of gets lumped in to one thing, you know? So it's the same thing. We just show different. And it's in, it shows a conflict within the culture, because there's a conflict within the culture, you know what I mean? So I think it did a great job of showing it. It's one of the most relatable films that I can look at, because being African-American, I can see both sides of these things. I can see the stereotypical African-American guy, that's people outside the culture kind of want their, you know what I mean? And they're kind of pushing for what their version of it is in their head versus what the way more boring, realistic version of just human life, of going to work, having family issues, having life problems. That's the typical African-American experience. You know, the other stuff is kind of blown up a lot. And you know, what's interesting here, good audience score, 96% for Rotten Tomatoes, people who can't see who are listening. 93% on Rotten Tomatoes from a tomato meter, 96% from an audience meter. Now, here's to a very different film, Anatomy of a Fall, a very different film here, which I struggled to get through. This one was a struggle for me. I did, Ben. I struggled to get through. So for one, I'm not sure if I just didn't have the subtitle version with the subtitle. So I'm only able to listen to half of this movie. I watched half this movie and I only know what they're talking about half the time. Now, Anatomy of Fall has was it French and it was English. So fortunately, I did have the English portion to kind of get through what it was about. How was this film for you?
Another one that I really enjoyed. I actually, you know, like you said, there's 30 hours of films. So some of these movies, it was like, I'm going to have to watch this in two settings because I just don't have, I need to get through all of them.
I definitely did. It took me three for Anatomy of a Fall, by the way.
Yeah. So Anatomy of a Fall, I was like, I'm going to start this movie. I'm going to go to bed, you know, and then tomorrow night I'll finish it. Well, it captivated me so much that I ended up staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning to finish it.
Wow. That's an endorsement in and of itself.
I would, for me, out of all of the films this year, this was the one that stuck in my mind the most and that I thought about the most after watching it.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, trying to be spoiler free, but
yeah, absolutely. We'll keep it kind of vague, but what gave you that feeling, so to speak? Was it the storyline? Was it the acting?
It was the story. Well, the acting was really good, obviously. The storyline, but it was the ending for me was so deep and metaphorical that I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And
we'll just go set off camera, man. We're gonna have to dig a little bit deeper, man.
Yeah,
I gotta see there.
Maybe you need to watch it with the English subtitles. Maybe that makes a big difference.
Maybe I'll watch the English subtitles. I'll come back to you later. Like, Jace, that man, that
you're like, that was the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Because I'm looking at the audience score. I'm like, what are these people watching? They're probably watching the actual film in its entirety. Now, Jace, thumbs up, thumbs down for you. 96% on the tomato meter for you people who aren't watching here. 90% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes here.
As Siskel and Ebert would say, I give this one two thumbs up as well.
Two thumbs up, man. One thumbs up here for me. Okay. Not two thumbs for me, but like you said, like I probably did not watch the entire film because I was lacking the English subtitles. So I will definitely have to put that in there into my feedback here. But I didn't. This film just wasn't for me. It's kind of like what you said. If it captivates me and I have to watch it, then I felt like the film's more enjoyable. This took me like three settings.
Okay.
To watch this entire film. But that's because I had to look at like context clues so much. I had to rewind back with stuff that I had no English for and like look at context clues and stuff like that. I have a person I'm probably gonna be doing a show with. She's from France here in the next couple of days. I'm gonna talk to her about this and see how that landed for them out there.
Okay.
Because it won some awards and stuff out there. So I'm gonna talk to her and see. So I'm gonna go one thumbs up for myself because the acting I thought was top notch. And it was a film that I did actually get through. I didn't have to, it wasn't a tortured experience to kind of have to sit through it.
Right.
But not the two thumbs up here, but it looks like Rotten Tomatoes is agreeing with you here, man, with the 96%. That's pretty high, right?
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more and maybe. I don't know. I'd like to see what your thoughts of the ending and everything were later.
Yeah, because in the dog, they were hoping the dog was going to make an appearance at the Academy Awards. I hear that did not happen, and I hear that led to a lot of disappointment. There's a dog in this film that led to a lot of people are excited about him appearing at the Oscars, and I guess that just did not happen. Now, Barbie, I don't feel like got enough love. And Anatomy of the Fall, by the way, best original screenplay for that, just to kind of zip that up here. We got a few of these awards here. It's not an exhaustive list, but I'm going to at least mention a couple as we go. Now, with Barbie, it's a pleasant surprise here. I had no interest in seeing this film. I saw that pink. I'll get my masculinity on. Like, no, bro, no. I'm a bro. No, I'm not going to watch this. I have no interest in watching this. It goes to HBO Max, and with my girl one day, she's like, let's watch Barbie. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the leg shot for you because, hey, I'm a relationship guy. You got to compromise sometimes. I'm like, I don't take the leg shot. I felt like I was more captivated watching the movie than she was, man. This thing was, like, captivating to me. And I was like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Jace, give me your thoughts here.
So I enjoyed the film. I don't have as much love for it as you seemingly do.
I do, bro.
Performances were great. The fact that they made a Barbie movie this enjoyable is a feat into itself.
Right. Agreed, man.
Because I didn't know what to expect. We've seen a lot of other, you know, toy movies come and go through the years, and
correct.
None
They're
of
hard
them,
to get right, Jace. Those yeah. movies, video game movies, that adaptations period is sometimes hard to get right.
Yeah. That being said, you know, performances stellar. The music in it was great. The world building that they did, the visual effects, I don't know if you've like researched any of the back end of that stuff, but there's a ton of visual effects in this that they seamlessly placed in so they didn't stand out. Everything was well done in this movie, but for me, it was still more of a fun popcorn flick than it was. I don't want to say a serious movie.
Theater folks would say, right? Your theater folks. It wasn't serious enough to warrant this type of consideration.
Right. But every, you know, as a whole, everything was well done. Performances were well done. As in an artistic endeavor, if you know, when you're looking specifically as Best Picture, I'm going to sound so hoity-toity about this, but you know, it's like I love this is the best way that I can express this, I think. Okay. I love Disney movies and stuff, right? And the artwork and the animation that goes into an animated Disney movie. But if I go into the Louvre and I see a drawing of the Lion King in the Louvre, it's going to feel out of place for me.
I get you. Right next to that Mona Lisa right there. You got a Simba. You got a picture of Simba sitting next to Mona Lisa, and that's not sitting right with you, Jace, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and maybe I'm looking at it as a coming from a wrong place, and some of your listeners might be like, oh, man.
I mean, no, well, I feel like you're looking at it coming from a place, and that's the important part. You can only come from the place that you legit come from, and I feel like you're not wrong. People aren't looking at this like it's Scorsese. Like, you see what I'm saying? People aren't going to warn... They can put it in a funner category.
Right. And there's still a positive message here. There's still a lesson to be learned. Like I said, all the pieces come together wonderfully. The performance, the direction, the cinematography, the color of the movie, the way everything just pops, the music. Like, it is a...
I love it, man.
A very fun movie. But it's really hard. I'm going to give it 1.5 thumbs up.
Okay. 1.5 thumbs up. 2 thumbs up for me just because I loved it so much. And maybe that's probably another half a thumb given to the fact that I didn't think I was going to love it. You know what I mean? So maybe I just added another half because I went in with such low expectations. 88% on the tomato meter, 83% on the audience score, which has 10,000 verified ratings. So that's way more than a lot of these other films that we have looked at for the audience score.
Phenomenal score.
Yeah. And what was I made for? Billie Eilish motion picture, best original song. So there's that.
The most fun moment of the Oscars, I think I'm would just be kidding. Ryan. Yeah, that was so was so much fun.
Goodness gracious, what a song. And, I'm gonna go back and watch that after this.
And let's just put out there too how good his performance was in that after he had just lost in his category.
He's gonna go up there and show you. He's gonna make you pay for it, man.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna go up there and show you what you're missing, show you why I should have been that guy.
So
now the holdover is a little bit interesting to me. I don't know. This is a bit of a drag for me. So I think that movies like this, the Divine Joy Randolph, who was the best supporting actress, phenomenal job by her in this movie. I definitely enjoyed her in this movie. I just don't know if I enjoyed the movie. It was meh for me. You know, the movie, I guess, because when I'm watching films like this, and especially if you're like, you're looking at the production that Barbie was, the backdrop that Barbie was, the backdrop that Oppenheimer, that we're going to talk about later on, and all these other films that we're talking about, this storyline was very, very basic one. You know what I mean?
We've seen it a million times.
Yes, yes, yes. Typical trope for me personally, as a guy who watches a lot of films and stuff like that. How did that come across for you?
It was the same. You know, the two unlikely friends being forced together, becoming friends. We saw it in Green Book. We've seen it, you know, in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Right. Due to circumstance, right?
Yeah, and then
circumstance
like,
brings them together.
We're different people, but we understand each other now, and I enjoy your company now. I thought it was well done. I thought the cinematography was really well done. It really has that look and feel of a movie from the 70s.
Mm, very nice.
So I enjoyed that aspect of it. I love Paul Giamatti. I had worked on Billions years ago and had the pleasure of seeing him work. And you know,
that
phenomenal
must be amazing,
actor.
Right?
Yeah, phenomenal actor. So again, you know, you're not going to get into a best category or best picture category without the acting in it being top notch.
Which I have nothing bad to say about, by the way.
No. And I would give this personally, I would give this a B just because I really enjoyed the cinematography. I knew where this story was going. I think that's the biggest downfall for me is when
the
we started
predictable nature of it.
I was like, okay, here's, and that, you know, that's what we were talking American Fiction. Like I initially was like, oh, this is how this movie's going to go. And it didn't go that way. And I was like, oh, I'm intrigued now. Where Holdovers, I was like, oh, this is how the story's going to go. And that's exactly how it went.
So you said two. So what is that? Is that one thumb? Is that your B? Does that equate to a thumb? Is that a?
Yeah,
because you went thumb and a half for your last one, but Barbie, you went thumb and a half. I feel like you enjoyed Barbie more, though.
I did enjoy Barbie more. But like I said, this had aspects that I really appreciated of it. Because if you would have given me this movie and said, "Oh, here's a movie that was filmed in 1973," you're really going to enjoy this. And I didn't know any of the actors, obviously. I would think this movie was filmed in 1973. Like it fits perfectly in the production value of a 70s movie, the way that it looks and the way that it was shot. And even like, you know, the fade outs and the fading from one scene to a next, like it was very much of that era. And I did appreciate that immensely, you know, for a film that takes place in the early 70s.
Yeah. One thumb for me here, due to the acting just being so great. One thumb for me. That's only because, like I said, the acting was top notch here. So I'll give it a thumb for that, but it was a hard movie for me to get through and don't know if I would revisit it. Also, the seasonal nature of it is a filmed around Christmas time. So maybe if I watched it maybe around the holidays, it'd have been a little bit different. Now, on to what I feel like would anytime Scorsese does a movie, Killers of the Flower Moon is what we're on to now. Anytime Scorsese does a movie, it's automatically kind of Oscar worthy from people who are in that ilk, who feel like, oh, well, Scorsese, I think he's already had the most nominations of a director. He's had like 10. So he's very well recognized for his contributions to cinema. And Killers of the Flower Moon was a movie that was a little bit on the longer side. I want to say roughly pushing three and a half, somewhere.
I think it was around 3.5 hours. Yeah.
Long movie. However, captivated for me from moment it started to the end. I very much enjoyed this movie. Now, a lot of people, if you get a lot of people who feel like when you tell movies like this that are so impactful, so heavy from a cultural standpoint, when you're dealing with Native Americans and abuses that they may have had to endure, I can get a vitriol reaction, so to speak, on one side or the other. It feels like maybe they didn't tell the whole story and all that jazz. But right. I will tell you that there aren't a lot of movies like this. Who else is telling these stories? At least Scorsese had the nerve and the I think it was based on a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. At least they're telling the story, and they put a Native American actress and Lily Gladstone in it. So I think that I like the movie, and I kind of can excuse some of that. Some people feel like it was whitewashed. How does that sit for you coming from your perspective?
I mean, anytime you have Scorsese, DiCaprio, and De Niro in a film,
oh man, magical, right?
You're not gonna have a bad film. You know, the 3.5 hours for me moved along pretty quickly.
Me too.
There was at no point in time that I checked to see how much of the movie was left. My big gripe with this movie, Lily Gladstone does a wonderful performance.
She does.
I wish that when they campaigned for her, they would have campaigned for her for best actress in a supporting role. So campaigning
yes.
is it.
Yes, so she would have been up against Divine Joy Randolph versus right, which, being up against Emma Stone.
Well, it has nothing to do with who you're being up against. I mean, you know, everyone wants the win. And
for sure.
I think we're more, especially today, we love firsts, right? So that she was the first Native American nominated for Best Actress. Absolutely. And if she would have won, it would have been the first win for, you know. However, like we said, the movie's 3.5 hours long. She's in about 50 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm. An excellent 50 minutes, by the way. She carries her scenes.
I'm not taking anything away from it. It's phenomenal. But when you put her up against, say, Emma Stone, who was in almost every single frame of the movie.
Correct.
It's when you're voting for that, well, how do you compare that? You have somebody that carried the entire movie versus someone who was a pivotal character in the movie and delivered a wonderful performance. But I feel like they sold her short. I know this sounds weird. They sold her short by pushing her to be best actress. And I think if she would have been best supporting actress, not that Divine Joy didn't earn her win, but absolutely. I feel like she would have had a better opportunity to get her Oscar in the supporting role, just because she was in less than a third of the movie when you break
it down
time wise.
Because this is interesting. For our the tomato meter score is 93%, the audience score is 84%. Some significantly a little bit different there. Two thumbs up for me. What did you think?
I thought, again, two thumbs up. You know, you can't go wrong with anything these guys do together. I mean, how many films have DiCaprio and Scorsese done now?
Man, it's like they come together like a package deal, like a combo, bro. That Big Mac.
It's been like five or six. And there's a reason that they keep working together, you know. And same thing with Scorsese and De Niro. There's a reason that they always work together. And because of that relationship, they don't they don't miss.
Now let's get up to the best picture winner here. And it seems like the award season darling, Oppenheimer, man. Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy, best actor. Oppenheimer, best picture. Christopher Nolan, best director for Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr., best supporting actor for Oppenheimer. Now, best cinematography, Oppenheimer. Best film editing, Oppenheimer. Now, this is interesting because I didn't enjoy this film as much as clearly the Academy did. The Academy loved this film. I liked the film. I liked the film. It's a fine little film. It's a fine film. I watched it. It's a heavy subject matter, of course. The acting in these is kind of like saying that somebody who are on in the playoffs on a sports team are good athletes. Of course, the acting in all these movies is top notch because you had to be good actors to get here, to get this kind of recognition. So, of course, I'm going to beat it, the same drum, so to speak, here with this film, with acting top notch. I enjoyed it. I didn't have to take any breaks. The movie moved for me. That being said, 1.5 stars for 1.5 thumbs would be.
I was like, stars. My gosh.
No, I'm not going to do it like that. I'm not. It's, it doesn't deserve. I would say B plus for me personally, just due to such a matter and the other films that I've just looking at what I enjoyed myself. However, this is excellent cinema, so I can't take anything away from it. And I can't take anything away from it winning, you know, all these awards. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, man. It was not my favorite of the year. I know, you know, it was the second biggest blockbuster that was nominated. I didn't dislike the movie. I enjoyed it. And even for me, so my grandfather worked, he didn't work under Oppenheimer during this part of the film, but he came in after the atomic bomb was dropped and he worked with Oppenheimer. So I kind of had like a family connection.
Interesting perspective.
The background story of this. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it more for the knowledge that it gave than for it being the film. There were certain moments that took me out of it. I know Christopher Nolan, and I respect that he likes to do everything in lens and, you know, practically and optically and stuff. He's not big on digital effects. But when the atomic bomb finally went off, I felt like it was underwhelming. Because we all know what a atomic bomb looks like. We've all seen footage of it.
The devastation
and you know, it went off and I was like, oh, well, that's not what the historical footage looks like. So that kind of took me out of the movie a little bit. Being said, you know, direction was great. They deserve the edit win. Cinematography was wonderful. You know, obviously the acting was wonderful. He's a fantastic director. Finally, absolutely, getting his due diligence.
It's just due, for sure.
Yeah. But same B for me.
B for you. B for me too. I'm gonna go thumb and a half. I went thumb and a half there because I missed a thumb and a half. I want to give it two, man. I want to, but I just can't say I enjoyed it as much as the other films that I've watched. Some of these are really great. Like I really enjoyed American Fiction. I really enjoyed Barbie. I really enjoyed Killers of the Flower Moon. So the movies that we talked about so far, I really enjoyed. This one, I just kind of enjoyed. 93% on the tomato meter, 91% on the audience score. Also over 10,000 verified ratings there on the 91% audience score. And a 93% with a 500 reviews is holding up pretty tight. Like this, people like this movie. So
I feel like, do you think that maybe it's due to the hype that was surrounded by it with Barbenheimer?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that helped it because Barbie also had the 10,000. Maybe a lot of people saw those two together. So I feel like that's definitely something that could have helped push it past. Now, this next movie, Past Lives, is interesting because this would have not been on my radar whatsoever from a genre standpoint. Now, what was made Past Lives interesting for me is that I was in Korea last year. So, of course, so when I was in Korea, with these Korean films, there's always a soft spot there, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know kind of like being in Korea and seeing anything K-dramas, even listening to K-pop, no matter what it is Korean, it gives a total different perspective on life. People, you should travel out there, people. Like, you should get your travel on. It'll give you such a different perspective on a lot of different things. That being said, Past Lives for me was another one of those kind of situations similar to the holdovers for me, in the sense that I'm like, there's nothing really happening here. Like, that's exciting for me the same way it is in Oppenheimer and Barbie and Killers of the Flower Moon and stuff like that. A great story, mm-hmm. an interesting story, one that's not quite as predictable as you may think it will be, but still not necessarily splitting the atom, to use my Oppenheimer reference here with this movie here, man. What were your thoughts?
Again, I enjoyed this. If I had to rate it, I'd give it a B.
Okay. So was this and Oppenheimer about the same for you? Can you give Oppenheimer a B?
It's hard to compare these movies, right, to each other, because they're completely different. Like,
vastly
this is
different movies.
This
man.
Is an indie darling film, where yeah. Oppenheimer is a big budget Hollywood studio.
Totally
film.
Opposite, right? Like Killers of the Flower Moon. Totally opposite.
Right.
Indie,
so when you go into it, you know, you have to go in with that mentality. I love a good indie movie. And I love the story on this. I love too that they use the setting of Korea.
Absolutely.
This
is added half a thumb for me.
Yeah, this is a movie, like, it's a timeless story, right? You can
absolutely
supplement
yes.
any
very
two
relatable
people from any part of the world. It could have happened. It could have taken place in America. It could have taken place in Korea. It could have taken place, you know, in Europe or South America. Like, it could have been. This is such a universal story of your childhood sweetheart, sort of, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really well
done.
The
one that got away, right?
The one that got away. And again, you know, wonderful performances, wonderful direction, cinematography was top notch. Obviously, I think that's pretty much a given. Every single movie,
correct,
is worthy of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be up for a best picture.
I mean, 95% of tomato meter is pretty good. 95% of tomato meter, 84% of the audience score. A little bit of a distinction, a little bit of a difference there. Thumb and a half for me.
Yeah, it's a B.
B, high B's.
I think it's a, you know, for your audience, if they haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch. I think you'll probably enjoy it.
Yes.
If you
I
like
think it's a little bit films. Slower for me. You have to like certain types of movies for a lot of these, right? If you like fast-paced action movies, I'm not sure if you want to sit down to Past Lives and
right.
And
but I feel like that's with anything. Like, even if you like these kind of movies, you have to be in the mood for this type of movie.
Absolutely. You know? Same with American Fiction, which I loved. Same with, and Holdovers, I think I like. I think maybe I liked Past Lives a little bit better than Holdovers. At the same time, though, I liked the acting in the Holdovers probably a little bit better. It's interesting. It's like really splitting hairs here. With some of these films, you know, because you got to really be in the mode to kind of want to watch them. So those are films I kind of put in the same category. They're a little bit lower on my enjoyable list personally. It's not something I would definitely watch. Now, this one is my favorite. My
really?
Absolute favorite was Poor Things. Poor Things is my favorite. And I have one warning about Poor Things. Sometimes you might be thinking like, hey, I'm going to sit down and watch a movie with my parents.
Do not.
This is not that. This is not that film, ladies and gentlemen. Do not sit down with your kids. Do not sit down with your parents. Do not sit down with anybody that you don't want to watch adult situations with when you watch this film.
So, I try to go into a movie with, I don't watch trailers anymore. And I try to go into a film without knowing a whole lot about it.
I didn't watch the trailer either. I'd watch nothing about it.
And
nothing about any of these. I just watched them.
Yeah, based on the imagery, I thought that it was going to be an Alice in Wonderland type tale.
Me too. I thought it was a period piece. And it kind of was, but it kind of was.
Kind of. And I went through a roller coaster on this. There were parts that I was intrigued and fully pulled into the movie. There were parts that I was really bored with, mm-hmm. and checking to see how long the movie was, and then it would pick back up, and it would you know, surprise me again, and I'd be intrigued, and then I would be bored. I was shocked a lot by the film. I thought, not that Robert Downey Jr. did not deserve his Oscar, but I thought Mark Ruffalo...
Ruffalo deserved a look here, huh?
Yeah, Robert Downey...
As much as Robert Downey Jr. and Oppenheimer, in my opinion.
Right, no. I feel like that Mark Ruffalo had to balance a bigger character in drama with slight comedy and being realistic in that world, which to me is much more difficult than knowing you're in a drama and giving a dramatic performance. Whereas Ruffalo, it was almost like being in the theater type of performance, but not so much over the top that it takes you out of the movie. So I thought that his performance was a little more nuanced, and I was kind of shocked that he didn't get the Oscar for that.
I'm glad Emma got hers, man, because very much best supporting, best actress for Emma, best makeup and hairstyling for this movie, best production design for this movie, best costume design for this movie as well. Now, I loved Emma Stone in this. When I tell you I loved her in this, man, by the way, just because it switches before we go, 92% on the tomato meter, 79% on the audience score, which I believe like the adult situations could definitely see. If you walked into this movie and you thought it was just going to be your run-of-the-mill period piece, you were surprised, man. I'll tell you that.
I got to say, cinematography-wise, one thing that kept taking me out was the pinhole photography in it.
Ah, I love that, man.
Just because I was like, wait, why are we, is there someone looking at them through the, like, I thought
Correct.
That there was a purpose.
It looked like
to
that
it.
At certain points. There really didn't seem like
and
there
it,
was.
And it kept taking me out of the moment rather than for me having that add to the film. It kind of, I was like, well, wait, why are we doing this now?
It sounds like a one thumb for you there, Jace. I'm a 2.5 thumbs on this. This was my favorite movie because it was my most impactful. Okay. Because only because it left the biggest impression. I walked away from this like, wow.
That's
awesome,
man.
That was a freaking ride, man. That was a ride that I was not expecting to get on, but I got on that ride.
See, I love to hear that. Like it did its job with you. It was still a ride for me, but I think it's only one thumb up for me.
Man, well, that's your lowest rated film so far, man. You've been pretty much a thumb and a half on the base, bro.
I mean, I did.
So my highest rated is your lowest rated so far.
Well, I mean, it was one thumb for what else?
Did you give the holdovers
I think I did holdovers one, and okay, I think I did past lives one.
This movie here, man. Now, Zone of Interest, man, which is just about the little screen. Now, Zone, you talk about a heavy movie, ladies and gentlemen. You talk about going from one thing to another, especially if you're talking about, could you imagine Barbie being shown with this movie? Like,
no.
So, like, this Zone of Interest. I absolutely had me absolutely captivated, set from in Germany, I guess, looking from a Nazi point of view. So I can understand why some people, if you did not want to watch it, I can definitely understand why it would, bring up some, negative feelings there for people who are sensitive to this time period. It's definitely something that you need to be aware of. If you're going to watch this movie, it's set outside, I think, of one of the, concentration camps where you can just maybe even in the concentration camp. It is a very heavy movie, but I found it extremely interesting to me. Subtitles, extremely interesting to me. Best sound for this movie that I see so far. Best international feature film, which I totally, totally agree with. What are your thoughts on it?
I appreciate this movie, and I am glad that it exists. It was not a movie for me.
Man, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, man.
It was for me, very slow paced and hard for me to sit through. And
one
again,
sitter, two sitter. How many times did it take you? Did you have to get up, go out, work out, come back?
I did this all in one sitting in a hotel room. But when the opening of the movie was like 3 minutes of just a song, I was like, okay, I'm in for a long film. At first I thought, I was like, wait, is it not, you know, like sometimes when you go to play a movie on your Apple TV or whatever and the audio plays and nothing else plays. I was like, oh, and I had to check. I was like, I Googled if the opening was just music, and I was like, oh, it is. Okay. So my, it's not messed up again, 'cause I was in a hotel room. But yeah, it was a tough one for me to sit through, man. I appreciate it. And it was very interesting to see a film from the other side of history. But it wasn't my cup of tea.
So 93% on the tomato meter, 78% on the audience score. No thumbs at all? Are you just cutting there? You're going zero thumbs here? I'm gonna go thumb and a half at least. I enjoyed it but I enjoy period pieces like these heavy pieces. I'm a very big documentary guy, and I feel like you would have to have somewhat that in your wheelhouse to find this kind of interesting. I already find the time period interesting to me, so it's easier watch for me.
Yeah, I think I kind of have to go no thumbs on this. Well, again, goodness, I appreciate the story.
Zero thumbs. You were with that 78% audience score is what you're with.
Yeah.
Not the 93% tomato meter.
No, there were aspects of it that I did appreciate. Like I said, acting spot on, cinematography I thought was great. The audio, obviously they won the award for that. But the pacing for me was a little bit too slow. I think that was my biggest gripe. I just felt like I was sitting waiting for something to happen. Actually, my favorite part was towards the end. I was like, oh, that's really cool how they did that. But the rest of it, I was just kind of, yeah, wasn't for me.
Man, that's very interesting, man, because I found this film to be completely captivating for me. I very much enjoyed it. I actually had subtitles, or this would have ruined my life. like I tend to do, man. Parasite, I didn't have subtitles for Parasite. Now my girlfriend's Korean, she translated as best she could while trying to watch it herself. But it's kind of like I had to go back and rewatch Parasite with subtitles. And this was I enjoyed it, man. An enjoyable film for me, but I kind of get where you're coming from, because I don't feel like it's going to be for everyone. And now this is interesting. Maestro, as we end on Maestro, this is going to be interesting here, because I enjoyed parts of this. Okay. I enjoyed parts of this. I didn't think I was going to enjoy any of it. You know, I thought Bradley Cooper did a pretty good job here.
He did a great job.
Is it Bernstein he's portraying in this movie?
Yeah, and he directed and produced, and you know, this was his baby. I heard that I don't know how true this is, but I heard that he went to conductor school for like 6 years to prep for this film.
6 years. I did see something that said it was a long time in the making.
Yeah.
Long time in the making. And what was interesting about it to me was just the telling of Leon Bernstein. You have to kind of know who the guy even is, I think, to kind of even care about this movie. If you don't care about composers and stuff like that, even though I do feel like there were some great life themes in this movie, I think it did a great job of tucking in some themes of life that are relatable to people. In relationships and things like that, dealing with a career person, things like that. All that stuff was pretty heavy, and I thought pretty great. I enjoyed it. It would. Do I one thumb this, man? Like, I feel like I've given some films a thumb and a half that I've enjoyed more than this. I would put this as solidly meh for me. It's kind of like right in the middle. It's not negative, Jace. It's just right in the middle for me, man. It's like it's on Netflix, you got some time. There's worse movies, worse things you can be doing and watching this movie. What are your thoughts?
I like this a lot more than I thought I was going to. So I had kind of heard that this was a self-indulgent movie for Bradley Cooper.
Man.
And that it was boring. And I kind of...
I thought it was going to be.
I heard a lot of negative things about this movie without really knowing what the movie was about. And it was a movie that I kind of was not looking forward to watching. But, you know, I sat through it anyway. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was... I didn't think it was self-indulgent at all. I thought Bradley Cooper did a fantastic job. I thought Carey Mulligan did a great job. I really enjoyed the use of cinematography and the black and white and the color.
I thought that was pretty good.
They didn't get rewarded for that. Yeah, the old school framing, you know, not having it the 16:9 framing. Mm. That being said, I liked the story. I wasn't bored. I enjoyed the acting, but I was a spectator. I wasn't fully invested into the characters.
Not really engaged as much as you.
I enjoyed it, but I didn't care what happened.
The audience score, 79% for the tomato meter, but a 58% on the audience score. This one got absolutely crushed. I want to say that this film is the lowest on both scores. Let's go ahead and pop us back up here. The film's the lowest on both scores. That, I mean, come on, man. 79% is your tomato. That's a tomato meter. Is 79%.
I don't know if you had
58% on the audience score.
We have to take a look back though. That's a 79% audience score is still good.
No, 58% audio score.
A 79% tomato meter is still good. Right? How many times have you gone and watched the movie and you've enjoyed it and you look at the tomato score and it's at like a 35% and you're like,
I know what some of the audience score, you know, you get review bombing for cultural things, something that I like that. A lot of gamers, if they don't like a game adaptation comes out, they don't like the lead actor. Right, they're going to review bomb it. But what's interesting about the 79% on the tomato meter is that when you look at that and you juxtapose that with the other Oscar films that we've kind of gone through here, it's by far the lowest.
Oh, yeah.
On the, because those are all like all 90s, right? 90s right. And above, high 80s. And then you jump down to 79 and then you take a step lower than that to a 58 on the audience score, man. What were they seeing here? Clearly something they didn't like.
Obviously, again, perspective is always an influence on how much you enjoy a film. And honestly, I think maybe because I had such low expectations from things from people that hadn't liked it, I went in thinking, oh man, this thing is going to be terrible. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, this isn't terrible. This is actually pretty good. But that's happened with me in movies of the past, like M. Night Shyamalan movies before. Right. You go in, they push it as like a horror film. I remember specifically The Village. They pushed that as a horror film. And I went in expecting a scary movie and it wasn't scary at all. And I was like, man, this movie sucks. And then 10 years later, I rewatched it knowing what it was. And I was like, oh, man, I actually really like that movie. So I,
you know, real quick, Jace, give us some background, because a lot of times people watch these films and they don't know who's actually voting on these films. Because they're like, you know, you'll see it. And the Academy freaking wears it of the Oz status, bro. Like, we don't know. Five people sitting on a hill and rendering judgment on all these films. And sometimes you even look at some of the films that get nominated. And you're like, what? Seven people saw this. Like, are you kidding me? Like, why, how is this even possible? So being that you're kind of in the industry, can you give some background of, like, what goes into the voting process for the audience?
Yeah, sure. So the Academy members are made up of the people that create these movies. In order to get into the Academy, you have to be one of two ways. One, if you're nominated for an Academy Award, you're able to join the Academy.
In perpetuity? Like, say, are you nominated? Once you're nominated once, can you vote for the rest of your life?
Yeah, once you're in the Academy, you're in the Academy. Certain people have gotten kicked out of the Academy for, you know,
hijinks
for doing bad things.
For doing things, yes.
Yes. But once you're in, you're a lifelong member. I guess you could probably stop because you do have to pay to be a member of the Academy. I think it's like $500 a year. So I think if you're like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, obviously you're out. But you can get in by being nominated or by having two people who are Academy members sponsor you. And then they take a vote into whether you can join or not.
Okay.
So, but once you're in the Academy, like I'm an actor, so I could potentially be sponsored or get nominated and be brought into the Academy as an actor. So my voting and my nomination and all of that would only be for the actor category and then best picture. So everybody,
so you couldn't vote best sound or anything like that. You wouldn't get a chance to vote for that. Well, that's good because that's staying in your area of competency, so to speak, right?
Yeah. So you're in your area of expertise, except for everybody gets a say in best picture, which only makes sense because in order to be the best picture, you have to have everything kind of line up and work well. That being said, though, a lot of this, and we talked, you know, a little bit with like Lily Gladstone, is campaigning too,
for sure.
And having a wonderful campaign behind you. You know, Oppenheimer's campaign was based on Christopher Nolan is one of the best directors in the last few decades to emerge, and this is his masterpiece. So that already puts you in a mind frame when you're watching this or when you're voting, you're like, man, Christopher Nolan has come out with a lot of good movies and he doesn't have an Oscar. So
a little bit of a leg up. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the content of the film.
Correct. In my opinion. And that's, you know, people talk about this all the time. Like, oh, he won for this movie, but it's a makeup because he got snubbed for this, or it's his full body of work, or, you know, I can't say if that necessarily is true. Obviously, anyone who's won deserves their win. It's all subjective anyway. Like we saw here, just, you know, watching these movies together and talking about them, we had a difference of opinions of what we enjoyed and what we didn't. But yeah, that's what goes into getting nominated and the winning of it.
No, so now just as we're ending here, I'm gonna talk a little bit about because you had starting to put these shows on YouTube, and I hear it's such a climb from a subscriber. So I heard one guy watching his videos. He was like, "Man, it took me like 90 videos to even get to like 100 subscribers." He's like, "It was a grind for him. It was a grind and grind and grind." Now I feel like this is gonna be different for different people. So as I've kind of prepared for this, and I'm not really like a video guy, so this is gonna be very new. YouTube's such a new experience. Like it's crazy because I consume way more YouTube than an average person, in my opinion. I'm one of the guys, when you think about this, the five people who pay for YouTube, I am 1/5 of that group. I am 20% of the five people who pay for YouTube because I don't want to watch ads because I watch YouTube more than anything else by far.
Okay.
I don't really watch my own stuff. In general, once I kind of do it, I just kind of put it out there and then I'm just on to the next kind of thing. So it's a very slow grind for me. Because I'm literally starting this on, I'm going to start playing, kind of putting these out on YouTube. I think it's going to be on a Reg and ATL probably in the next like week or so. I've probably been doing it even for like a week or so.
Okay.
Now you've been putting stuff on, you show me some of your stuff that you've kind of put on YouTube and a lot of the AI stuff, man. I have to have you back for that. Cause these are the things for the audience. These are things me and Jason already talk about. Like we're naturally, this is a natural conversation that we already have. So, and that's what a lot of people that I bring on, that tends to be the case. Like we already talk about these things. So yours have a lot more like visual effects and stuff on me. I'm just a guy talking here. Right. How has that been for you? And talk a little bit about your background there with that.
So it was a new endeavor for me as well, as people can see in the corner here. There it is. I'm an actor. So what happened during the pandemic, I got really bored after a couple of weeks and I was like, well, I want to keep creating stuff. And the only way to do it right now is to make my own stuff. So we did, me and my fiance made a couple of things and then I was by myself for a moment and I was like, I wonder if I could shoot a movie. I have a friend who's a musician and he was like, man, you know, I miss my band, but it's still great. I can still play acoustically.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I can't do that as an actor. And I was like, or can I? So then I created a little experiment where I filmed it myself and I was both characters in the film. And then those things just kind of sat on my laptop. And during the actor strike, I was like, well, let me just put these up and see what happens. And I put them up and more people than I thought watched them, and I got subscribers on them. And I think, you know, part of that could be because whenever I have something that I'm in and it gets released, I get a rush of people who follow me on different platforms and whatever. So I had, you know, a couple episodes of things drop, and all of a sudden my numbers went up on the YouTube stuff. But yeah, it's more of a, for me personally, it's more of a place to experiment. And, you know, I, with the AI coming into fold, I kind of wanted to see how that stuff worked and how it affected filmmaking. So I was just kind of curious. And also now, you know, a side effect of creating stuff is I better understand what different people go through when I am on set as an actor. I know what the lighting guy is going through. I know what the sound guy is going through. I know the visual effects team, why they're doing the certain things that they're doing to make sure that they have the correct things in place for them to add the effects afterwards. So it's been great just from a outside perspective kind of way as well.
So tell me something when you, from a film perspective, is there like one film that you just really resonated to you that you worked on and stuff like that? Or are they all kind of like your baby? Cause you know, some people have performances, just like some people are musicians, they'll have songs, you ask them their best song and it's so hard for them to pick it out because they're like, they're all, I feel good about a good bit of them. Maybe they can pick out the worst ones for you. Is there one film or one performance that sticks out for you, or are they all kind of just like a mesh up for you?
Every production that I've worked on has added something into my performance bank. Has, you know, I've learned something. I've worked with wonderful people. Even there's been stuff that I've had a bad experience on. But I've learned from those bad experiences, or it's made me appreciate the better experiences. But I have quite a few things coming out right now that I'm proud of. So you can find me on an episode of the show Big Door Prize on Apple TV season 2. I think I can talk about that. Hopefully I can talk about that.
Just hit me up later, just if you need me to edit it out of there.
That was a really great experience just because of the individuals that make that show. I love and respect. So David West Reed, he worked on Schitt's Creek. My director, Jordan Canning, she's from the Schitt's Creek world as well. She's also done a bunch of stuff Star Trek.
By the way.
And then all of the actors, like just being in a place where we got to improv stuff, a lot of stuff in Atlanta is not comedy based. Right. So having the ability to just kind of play around and have the time was great. And I'll be on season 5 of Ruthless, which again, Tyler Perry, that's always a beast of a show to work on because he shoots a lot.
Tyler Perry's like banging him out, man. He's got a system.
So a typical show, for those of you that don't know, you shoot maybe 5 to 10 pages in a day, tops. Tyler Perry, I think when we were shooting Ruthless, we were shooting 120 pages out a day, somewhere
Goodness
around there.
Gracious.
So
man, it's a machine.
You basically like, but that was a challenge in itself, and it was wonderful. I had a whole board mapped out with my story points and my arcs and knew all of my lines. So it's almost like working on a play instead of a show. Because I knew my whole script front and back, multiple scripts front and back, because you never knew when they were going to be like, hey, we can't get to this scene right now. We're going to work on this scene instead that we were supposed to shoot tomorrow, but now we're going to shoot it now. So you just have to know everything. I think wrapping up a kids movie, again, interesting perspective. I'd never worked on a kid's film before. So,
wow, that's interesting. We haven't talked about that. Some of these other things we've talked about already.
No, yeah. So right now, the placeholder name is The Pet Detectives. I'm going in, I think, later this week to finish up my ADR on that. But that's a kid's movie. It's
ADR for us acting like people who do not know, us noobs to the industry. What does
that mean? ADR means the sound recording didn't work out the way that they thought it would. It wasn't clean, okay, or it was muffled, or there's noise in the background or whatever.
It's so like cleanup work, so to speak.
Yeah. So I'll go into a studio. They'll play the scene for me a few times, and then I'll re-record my lines so that they have clean audio. So I'm guessing since we're in that stage, that should be coming out sometime later this year. But that was an ensemble cast. It's me, Sean Astin, from Lord of the Rings and the Goonies. Everybody loves Sean Astin. Great, great and wonderful person.
Great actor.
And then David Faustino from Married with Children, who played Bud Bundy.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. Do you know that he had like a rap career at one point? I don't know if you remember. He had an album out.
He's still into big into DJing. He still does DJing and stuff out and about. Yeah. And then Corin Nemec, which I don't know if this is totally going to date my age, but a show called Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Goodness gracious, Parker Lewis. Parker Lewis. I haven't even heard anybody use Parker Lewis in a sentence.
Yeah.
So in years.
Corin Nemec, who was Parker Lewis and Parker Lewis Can't Lose, is in it as well. And Naomi Campbell, who was from American Horror Story. So
very nice.
It was a really fun movie to work on.
What's your page, Jay? As we're wrapping up here, where can people find you at? What's your YouTube and your socials, all that stuff?
I think YouTube is just my name, Jason Vendries, at Jason Vendries. Okay. And then Instagram. I kind of fell off Twitter. Didn't really like it.
I don't really think that's you know, for me, anybody looked at my social media dinosaur stuff that I have going on social media. I never got on to fall off. You know what I mean? So even you falling off meant that at one point you were on. I'm just trying to check my stuff once or twice a year, and I'm struggling with that, man.
I'm barely on Facebook anymore. I still check it every once in a while. But Instagram, I think my handle is Ja Vendries.
Ja Vendries, and then your name on the YouTube. Jace, yep. Appreciate it. It took us a long time for us to make this happen, man. I very much appreciate you taking some time out here, and I'm bringing you back on. We're gonna discuss this AI, man. We're gonna we got to do the AI conversation that we have had a million times over.
I know, man.
Well, we gotta talk about it, man.
It's a conversation that always evolves and changes almost at a daily rate at this point.
Right, just like AI in of itself, right?
I know, so, I know.
I definitely appreciate you coming on here, brother, and look forward to the next time, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. It was fun.
You got it. It's Reggie ATL. Check us out. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, as well as YouTube and Instagram. My fabulous social media person, Bethany, puts things on Instagram and checks that for me. Otherwise, I would not be existing there whatsoever. And then on YouTube, but I think it's on the Reggie ATL. I think I have a person puts them kind of like on there as well. So Reggie ATL on YouTube. Check me out and talk to you next time. See you later, guys.